Is it a crisis? Hi, I'm Jarvis Smith, and my new show, Lean Into Clean, will inspire, impress and inform. What can we all do to clean up our lives so the next generations and, of course, our beautiful planet can thrive? Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural way so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants.
Health Radio and our blog are provided by the authors, producers, and companies themselves and is only intended as additional information to your general knowledge and does not substitute professional medical advice.
Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean show. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is UK Health Radio. As you know, we always start the show with a bit of news, and I just thought this was really uncanny because today's news is going to, I think, resonate with today's guest. But the news today, and I always grab the news from mygreenpod.com, which is my wife and I's website that is completely focused on sustainability, leaning into clean, living a sustainable lifestyle, etc., etc. So this was today's news. So Joanna Lumley, Peter Egan and Joe Brand joined forces with International Animal Rescue for COP28. Now, COP28 is, as you know, the climate conference that happens all around the world. This particular year, it's going to be in Dubai. It starts, I think, on the 30th, or certainly the end of November, and goes into the first 2 weeks of December. In fact, next week's guest is going to be the Green Sheikh. His full name is Abdulaziz Al Nuaimi, and he's the Green Sheikh in Dubai. So he's the one that's responsible for the Green Fund, one of the sovereign funds in Dubai. So that's going to be next week's guest. But let's get back to this story. So this is what it says. For too long, the link between nature and climate has been missed and neglected. This needs to change. International Animal Rescue's COP22 campaign, should I say, give wildlife a seat at the table, is being backed by a host of celebrities, including Joanna Lumley, Peter Egan and Joe Brand. They are supporting IAR to reach a tough target of getting 10,000 people to call on world leaders to seriously consider the planet's wildlife and the biodiversity crisis during the COP28 discussions. Now, Gavin Bruce, who is the chief exec of the IAR, he said this: COP28 is more important than ever. We are now at a critical moment in global climate action. COP28 follows a year of record-breaking temperatures across the planet and extreme weather events. For too long, the inextricable link between nature and climate has been missed, underutilized and neglected. This needs to change. It's time for COP to give wildlife a seat at the table. Now, what's brilliant about this is, and I know today's guest is certainly going to bring this up in conversation, is when we talk about nature, when we talk about the earth, when we talk about reconnecting with nature, often, not always, but often, wildlife, which of course is a part of nature, is often neglected from that conversation. So we are talking about plants and trees and restoration and rewilding, but not for a long time has nature actually been included in the conversation. So I'm really, really pleased about this initiative that's going to be coming up. There is a petition that you guys can sign, and I know you all care about the health of humans, animals, the planet, etc. So if you go to mygreenpod.com and click on today's article, which the headline is what I read out at the beginning about Joanna Lumley, Peter Egan and Joe Brand, and you can click on the link and you can actually sign that petition. They only need 10,000 signatures for it to actually have an impact. I'm pretty confident we should be able to do this from this listenership. So please do go to the site, please do sign that, and let's support nature and wildlife and giving them a voice at the most important conversation this year, the COP28 climate conference. So thank you for that. That brings me very, very nicely to today's guest. Not only is this guest a friend of mine, she's actually also a very important person in our world, because she's creating a sustainable interiors book, which is going to be an influence for the industry and for those of us that want to live in a more sustainable environment. So today's guest is Chloe Bullock. Now, she is the founder of Materialize Interiors, Brighton-based B Corp certified interior design company, which is amazing, and also named as this year's Peter's Compassionate Designer in their Vegan Homeware Awards. Welcome, Chloe Bullock. Thank you for coming to join us. How are you?
Oh, I'm really well, thank you, Jarvis. It's so lovely to be here. I'm a listener and I've enjoyed the episodes before today, and yes, it's brilliant to be here. Thank you.
Oh, bless you. Thank you. The first thing I'd love to ask you about is the book, because I know it's probably a big thing that's going on in your world at the moment. So just tell us about the book you're writing, and then we'll go back into, you know, how you got into this. And but what's the book about?
So the book's about sustainable interior design, and it was commissioned by Reba Publishing. They out of the blue contacted me and asked me to write it.
Nice.
To put this in context, it's something I've always been in awe of other people doing, and it's something that my dad does. He's written a number of books, but I was quite bowled over to be asked, and it's a great honor. I mean, I admire Reba is such a
yes,
an important institution. So I did some sort of, you know, had a wobble about it, kind of got back on the tracks again. But they really wanted it to be called what it is, sustainable interior design. And they kind of didn't want to beat around the bush with it. And they felt, yeah, they obviously have heard me talking on LinkedIn and kind of, you know, the channels that I use to communicate my different way of doing things, I guess.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, quite literally, I've graduated 30 years ago, and I haven't had children, and I've worked all the way through, and it's been quite a lovely time to pause and really have a good look around my industry and its impact, and looking at designs and products around the world that demonstrate what I'm trying to convey in the book. So my kind of entry into sustainable interior design has been sort of two-pronged, really. Well, three, you know, it's all rolled up in one, really. But the animal side of my industry, I'm from a commercial design background, but there's still animals in that aspect. But when I did some study about 6 years ago, I realized when you work in residential, there's really a huge amount of animal use, the products, you know, so-called byproducts, so-called natural products. So I found that as a hook as to draw me into sustainability, although I've been working in it in stealth mode for a long time, but it kind of became the way that I would vocalize it in my industry. But the other was just the circular economy. I mean, I don't even need to touch anything in the animal world in my work if I work within the circular economy and mm-hmm. work with what's already here. So kind of those were two strong approaches for me, and I helped to set up the Declare for my industry, Interior Design Declares, along with Oliver Heath.
And yeah, he's also been a guest on the show.
Yeah, and it's been really interesting because we all have different viewpoints, and we have different kinds of clients, and they all kind of need to be tempted in to sustainability. And so yeah, I've kind of cut it 11 ways to kind of demonstrate the different approaches that we can use as designers to draw in our clients, but also to draw in the designers to work in this way as well.
Nice. So there's 11 ways. I want to get into that in more detail, but maybe we could do that later. What how did it all start for you? Like what was the I mean, did you know you wanted to become a designer when you were at school, or what's the beginning journey?
So I've lived in Brighton all my life, and so when I was six, the Body Shop opened a mile away from where we live. So Anita Roddick has been very much in my life from that point. My mum was a big fan, my gran was a big fan, and my uncle as well. So they all shopped there in the original shop in Kensington Gardens. And then as she, the company kind of, I grew up with it, and then as they got more into campaigning and made me more aware of animal testing, Greenpeace, fossil fuels, all the campaigns, it was very widespread and very eye-opening. So I did follow art and design through school because it's what I loved, and I was always encouraged to stick with the subjects that I loved. And that kind of took me to university, where I studied furniture and product design. And then when I came out, I hit the recession of the early 90s. It was really kind of, I just won an award for a piece of product design. I was kind of really built up, and then came out and it was like, oh no, there's no work. And I was lucky to get some work, and then that kind of fizzled out as well because, again, the recession. And then out of desperation, I wrote to Anita Roddick and asked for work experience. It just felt a really logical thing to do, but kind of up against it, I, in desperation, wrote to her, and I got a reply, and I was given some work experience, which then grew into a 10-year job.
Ah,
It was amazing. It
brilliant.
was very educational.
And was the reply from her?
I think now that I know the inner workings, it was her lovely, lovely PA, Karen, who probably was doing so much in the background to support what Anita was doing. But yeah, it was such a wonderful opportunity.
Oh, nice. And so you went into that environment, you had this design background. So what was it that got you into the, I mean, I hear you about the Body Shop being great campaigners and, really, really cutting edge, actually. Anita was amazing ambassador for, products on the high street to be sustainable. So what touched you? What was it that kind of, how did you link the two? Because the Body Shop and design, to me, still feel quite a gap between the two. So
Well, it does seem like that, but from these retailers need the stores to be designed. So
that's true, of
Yeah, so
course.
I became a retail designer for within a team, and so my emphasis really was to look at materials, and that was such a sort of enjoyable thing for me because that's kind of where I'd come from. So we'd look at experimental, innovative materials that are out there that we could use in the industry to communicate the company's ethos, even through its three-dimensional presentation. So I did a lot of work with that, and we worked on sort of experimental stores around the world to test them out because different markets and things like that. And we very work closely with the visual merchandising team and the design team. The graphic design for Body Shop is really quite brilliant as well. So yeah, it was very design led actually, and it kind of converted me from a furniture designer to an interior designer. So it was really
Nice.
good.
Yeah, because thinking back now, I remember you go into a body shop on the high street, and you would always have a much nicer experience than you would have had in, I don't know, a Boots, or I don't know, whatever the alternative would be. They were much, much more, well, friendly. And if I remember as a child going into them, they had that kind of greener. Something about, nature or something like, and you kind of felt that when you went into the shop. So you were kind of partly responsible for that then, you and your team. And
We worked on that. So yeah, it's kind of it was a well, it still is, and it's one of it's a B Corp, and it's still doing great things and constantly improving. But yeah, it was just very important to see that she was selling, but it wasn't all about selling products. But the products she was selling had stories, and they had responsibility, and they worked with people to, you know, there was a lot of two-way help going on, and it was a very eye-opening experience of responsible business and ethical business.
Nice. Because Body Shop went on its whole journey, didn't it? Because it sold to one of the bigger, not so nice cosmetic companies, and now has come full loop back to a really beautiful, sustainable cosmetic business. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Except for, well, we don't know what the future really is now, because it's just been sold again.
Oh, has it?
Yeah, in the last week we heard that it's been sold for quite a you know, not a huge value, actually. And so really keen to know that everything is going to keep going okay, because they've been doing such brilliant work. And I know this because I've written about them in the book, because it's so relevant. So, the work that they've been doing is very true to Anita's ethos. So,
well, that's good
I really
to know.
Hope it'll carry on. Yeah,
that's good to know. She was an amazing ambassador, but we're here to talk about you, Chloe, not about the body shop. But thank you for that. Thank you for that insight. It's really nice just to kind of get to know what seeds were planted in those early days. I'm gonna, if it's all right with you, we're gonna move to your first song, because I know there was when we spoke about it, there was a connection to this time in your life. The song is "The Whole of the Moon," and it's by the Waterboys. So we're going to play this, and then, Chloe, afterwards, once we've heard it, maybe you can just tell us, you know, why you chose that song and what it meant to you at that time of your life and still now. So here we are, "The Whole of the Moon" by the Waterboys.
And the wind at your heels, you clap.
Ah, what a great song. I always ask my guests, can you send me a couple of songs that would be a soundtrack to your life or a soundtrack to the climate crisis? So, Chloe, tell us why you chose that song.
It's something that they would play at our company days at the body shop. And company days in those days were quite unusual. And I'm glad that they are more common these days. But yeah, it was it boosted everyone. And yeah, it makes me feel really happy when I hear it.
Nice, lovely. Oh, thank you for that. Thank you. Well, let's move on to the next stage. So you left Body Shop after all this amazing experience in creation and in shop design, interior design, sustainability. So what came next?
So in true Body Shop style, I felt very empowered to go off and do my own thing, because it was kind of like, you can do this. So I did, and I stepped into the unknown. And
sounds like the culture there was amazing, right? Which is what everybody's trying to find now, is culture.
Yeah, for sure. It was so supportive, and we're still connected, the employees, and they're all doing amazing things. So
I've just remembered we need to cut to a commercial break. It's completely my fault. I got so entwined in our conversation. Let's quickly cut to the commercial break, and Chloe will come straight back to you, and we'll get into the next phase of post Body Shop.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, Chloe, welcome back. And so in true Body Shop style, they supported you in what? What came next?
So I started to establish myself as a interior designer in Brighton. And, I built up some repeat clients and worked for quite a lot of small businesses. And over the years, I've managed to express my values more loudly in my business and attract more like-minded clients along the way, often helping them with their homes after helping them with their business premises or their, you know. So that's been quite a lovely, it's very flattering to be asked to do, to work, you know, to work on someone's home is really, you're in their space and you get to know them very, very well. So it's been really important. And that just makes me want to, I mean, I really deeply want to deliver good quality work. You know, I want to care about the clients, and I do, my business model does work very much around giving, you know, supporting the clients rather than them working around my business model of kind of just offering a package and they have to fit around that. But yeah, I really want to deliver healthy spaces that are going to last them a long time, and avoid trends, you know, because I think that they're so harmful to our industry. Our industry is becoming much more aware of their impact, and I'm so happy to be witnessing this. But yeah, the, you know, we need to give quality work that lasts a long time.
And that's kind of the true meaning of sustainability, isn't it? It's not just about, you know, the obvious, so to speak. What does sustainability mean to you if you were to define it in a number of words or a sentence?
So it has, up to now, it's kind of meant being living within the boundaries, you know, but we and working within the boundaries, but we know that we're exceeding those boundaries. So it's almost like sustainability isn't enough. We've got to push harder and look at the regenerative design solution rather than just running on the spot, which is what I kind of feel that sustainability is. We've got to put back. And my industry is very consuming of materials and energy. And kind of for me, I very much want to work in the reuse space before I even look at bringing in any new materials into products, you know, kind of really work with clients. A lot of clients have said they like to work with me because I'm not going to tell them to buy everything new, you know.
Mm. Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. And of course, I mean, there's a quote in the fashion industry, which I want to ask you about. If it's the same for interiors, probably pretty close if my suspicions are correct. But there is enough clothing in the world that has already been made to clothe the next 10 generations without anything being made new today, tomorrow. So what is there a similar line that you use in the interior space? Because
I would love to find it. It's a good thing to point out. It would be such an eye opener to have that to tell people. I don't have a figure. I know that we're using just shy of 40% of the carbon globally is in the built environment, whether it's building it, maintaining it, or power and running it.
40%.
Yeah, it's a horrendous amount.
Yeah.
So, you know, a designer and an architect can have so much impact into that.
Yeah.
You know, working very closely with the client, making sure we're delivering what they need, that giving them something that's going to last long and easy to maintain and easy to run. You know, on whatever scale we're working, we can have such an impact.
Where's the point in your career where you've had the most freedom to be able to like really deliver something that you was like, oh yeah, I've nailed it, or have you not got there yet?
Well, there's a lot of time I feel that I could, a lot of clients have, in terms of ideas, they have a lot of ideas, they don't have the confidence, and I help to draw that from them and help them to sort of build what they want that they just can't quite execute. Well, there's lots of work that I've done that, yeah, I've been very proud of, that kind of has me stamped on it as well. It's the projects where they're very open to my ideas of slightly more experimental materials. You know, there's a slight risk factor here because some of these materials are quite innovative and haven't been here for a long time to, you know, look back on performance. So it's lovely when I get a client who is very engaged in that and will take that risk, and then that gives me an opportunity to use it again, you know, because I can test things out. So that's what lights me up, when, you know, get those opportunities.
And what are those materials? What kind of things are you talking about? If it's, you know, to our listeners that probably wouldn't have the first clue about the kind of things that are experimental or quite new on the scene, what are they?
So there's a lot of food waste materials. So rather than kind of looking at animal leathers, I can look at a whole spectrum of food waste leathers. So kind of solving a problem and then solving two problems, because it means, you know, not only is that getting used, it's getting used and diverting from using animal products. So yeah, I've written about Mirum in my book, which is there's all kinds of plant-based leathers, but some have different amounts of some fossil fuels in there as well. And I can see that's less bad, but for me, it's not good enough. So yeah, I would want to, you know, I really want to know about the lifespan of products. I want to know what's going to happen at the end. And if there is a complex blend of materials, then some of them might be problematic for them to be composting and biodegrading later, then to me, that's kind of not good enough. So this this innovative Mirum product is being used in the fashion industry, and it's gradually gravitating into the interiors. So I look to a lot of the materials that are happening in fashion because they feel like they're a lot further ahead.
I've seen things like I'm not sure if it's specifically food waste, but cork used in replacement for, you know, handbags and shoes. And then there's this mushroom product, isn't there, that's come out that it seems to be pretty leather, kind of mimics leather in some way. Is it? Do you know about that?
Yeah, there's, again, I've written about Biome, which is a company that does, so they both do insulation, they grow insulation.
That's right, that's, yes, I've come across Biome.
It's brilliant. So that's instead of using, you know, all those fossil fuel-based foams that we use. That, yes. You know, so, and they also use it decoratively. So there's lighting, and I've used a project that a designer has done with a very creative light to sort of demonstrate the use of that material. So yeah, it's exciting.
Amazing. And so, you know, if say somebody's at home now and they're thinking to themselves, well, look, you know, I like my house. It's, you know, but it would be good to get more sustainable. So what would your advice be in a sense of, okay, so everybody's got everything in the house already. You know, should they then go out and buy, you know, get loads of repurposed stuff or buy new stuff that's more sustainable? Or is it better, is it more sustainable to keep what you've already got and get the longer life out of it?
Do you know, I find that a lot of times it's a matter of shopping somebody's own home. They might have things in the loft or things that are kind of, you know, sometimes, you know, I go in houses and they can be quite cluttered, but that people can have such beautiful things in amongst all this clutter. Yeah. And it's kind of like, let's just really evaluate what you've got here, you know, both in terms of decorative items, furniture, and even sort of the finishes that are there. So kind of a bit of a declutter is always a thinning out so you can see the beauty of what's there. Yeah, absolutely. The most sustainable is what you've already got. Mm-hmm. So let's work with that first before bringing anything new in.
Nice. Gosh, you must be a breath of fresh air to a lot of people. That kind of, I can imagine a lot of designers going, well, you've got to change this and you've got to get rid of this and you've got to do that and do that. And you're like, what have you got? Let's have a look. Yeah. Let's have a sniff around. Let's have a look under the stairs.
And then, you know, like, what's your family got that they don't want? And what's in the loft? And, you know, let's get everything out first and really kind of slow down and look at everything.
I love that. I love that. Have you got any projects on the go at the moment? What have you got? Yeah, apart from the book, obviously, which is a huge project.
Yeah, the book's been handed in and it's in production and it's illustrated. But while I'm talking about lovely people that I've worked with, so the illustrator is a Eleanor Branch, who I found from My Green Pods because. Uh-huh. You were selling her lovely posters, and I felt that her values really chimed with mine. So, and I hope it's a showcase for her to have.
Oh,
this
brilliant, brilliant! Well. Yes, that's right. So she had beautiful poster designs and a few other things. And you literally found her on My Green Pod. You came across her. Oh, that's amazing!
Yeah,
I see. I vaguely remember you mentioning that, but it didn't sink in how it sunk in now. Oh, thank you for that. Great. I love all this. This kind of this circular economy that you talked about. I think we're very much like that in the way that we run our businesses, in terms of trying to support and help and work with, you know, the people that are also underwritten with that sustainable nature of business. So yay, great.
Well, I know the value of these kind of boosts with through your career. You know, I've been very lucky to have a number of them, but yeah, so but to help Eleanor do that, it's brilliant.
We'll talk about boosting. Let's just talk about, you know, we also I'm the founder of the P Awards, the People Environment Achievement Awards, and you were involved, was it year before last, or
it was before the pandemic? Yeah, maybe year before.
2019 then.
It was such a boost. I can't tell you, there's times being a small business, I work on my own, and yeah, there's times when it's tough, you know, it's been difficult, the financial crisis, and then, you know, it's just been very up and down in places. And that
last decade has been just for anybody in business, you'll know, it's been an insane time. Brexit and then COVID and, you know, now recession, and God, it's just been one thing after another.
It's been awful. And because I do work for a lot of small businesses, they're feeling it, and I'm in their ecosystem. But incidentally, I've just celebrated my business's 18th birthday over the weekend. So I'm really happy to report that.
Congratulations. I hope the business didn't wake up with too much of a hangover.
No, it's definitely come of age. So I've got an adult business now. It's lovely to see it grow up. The P Awards, that was just such a boost. I didn't need to win. No, it's to be a finalist is wonderful, and it kind of brought me more into, you know, what you're up to, and all the people that you find for the awards. So it's been brilliant.
I'm really, that's really, really encouraging, because we do have our next P Awards event just literally in the very near future. So thank you for highlighting that. Would you believe, just a bit of insight just for anyone that's listening, the P Award stands for People Environment Achievement Awards. It's been running now for, 13 years, but actually it's 12 because we had to lose a year because of the pandemic. And then we've lost another year because we booked this amazing net zero carbon neutral boat. It's the first of its kind. It's fully electric. It's an event boat that's going to be on the Thames. It came into the UK. Everything was absolutely fine. And then we booked this to do the party, which was supposed to happen just last week on Thursday. And then we found out the government weren't able to classify the boat because it's fully electric and they don't have a classification for a fully electric boat of its size in the UK. And so we couldn't have passengers on it. So we had to delay the event and it's now going to be put back to February next year. But it just shows you that, you know, sustainability and wanting to do the right thing is not always supported by our environment, is it? Certainly our business environment. So on that note, Chloe, have you come across anything that you would have loved to have done or loved to have? I think this is probably connected a little bit to your Interiors Declares role. Because that is, for those that don't know, it kind of, that came off the back of these declares models came off the back of Extinction Rebellion and businesses wanting to rebel in certain ways to things. So we're going to go to a commercial break, but I am going to come back to you, Chloe, and just ask you what hurdles or what initiatives you've been involved in with that have had an impact or will potentially have an impact or just can't happen because bureaucracy won't let it happen. But let's cut to the commercial break and we'll come back to that very, very soon.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Bowie, welcome back. So you're the co-founder and the founding signatory for Interior Design Declares. Excuse me, I was calling it Interiors Declares, but Interior Design Declares. So just tell us a bit about that and what you've been able to, well, you know, achieve with it or were frustrated about.
It's been great to be able to kind of put my frustrations in a group and have other people from my industry come together, and we all kind of, because the power of a group is, you know, it's helped my anxiety definitely to sort of have more impact within a group. So we've been running for 2.5 years, and we're kind of trying to share learnings and speak at events and kind of just raise awareness at whatever level people are at in our industry. I can see the word sustainability getting used so much more in the industry. Our supply chains are responding, and our supply chain are actually able to be part of our declare as well. It was felt that that would be the best way to have impact.
Nice.
But one of the concerns that we've had, it doesn't matter how you come into sustainability, chemicals, toxic chemicals are problematic, you know, whether it's for the indoor air quality, the production, the supply chain, the effect on the people installing and living with, and then at the end, disposal.
Yeah, basic things like dyes and, you know, all kind of completely harmless to ecosystems, to people's health. And that's just one of many things, right?
Yeah, there's so much. I mean, if you think about the wide spectrum of materials that you would use in an interior, I'm a kind of a early stage of a project interior designer rather than a cushions and curtains interior designer. but kind of just, yeah, just the huge amount of materials. I mean, I look at fashion declares and the brilliant work they're doing, and then I think, oh, you're talking about fabrics. We've got fabrics, and we've got, you know, all the other the materials that are excavated, that are carbon's used. It's so you've got a lot going on. So one of the things we felt we could help to get behind was the fire retardant chemicals campaign. So there's a big network of upholsterers who have to work with these horrible toxic chemicals.
Yeah, really toxic as well, aren't they?
Really harmful
and carcinogenic, and yeah,
they've got you know, very strict rules on how to get rid of these scrap materials, but actually nobody's considering what those materials are doing to the workers, you know. Mm. So there was a letter written by Delith Featherstone Dilk, who is an upholsterer, but she's also a former lawyer. So she wrote an open letter, which we helped to promote. And now the government has consulted the whole public about some changes that they're making. And there are some good changes in there, but there's more they can be doing. Mm. So we've kind of lent our support to that and helped people to feedback and be heard, because obviously it's an invitation to be heard. So that's something I feel we've kind of done something quite productive.
Yeah, that's amazing. And what would, if there was one, it was probably a hard question to answer, but one or two things that you would love to change, but, you know, the system or the politics or the government are not on side, what are kind of other issues that you would like to take and tackle?
I don't necessarily feel there's limited ones. It's just kind of opening people's awareness to all the things that we're choosing when we're specifying for an interior. So kind of just to make sure that we ask lots and lots of questions. And then when more of us ask questions, you know, the industry will respond. The manufacturers will improve their products if they know that the demand is there for better, healthier products. One of the quotes that I've put in the book, which is actually from a course that I took. I've carried on my learning very much through my career, and I took a course online at the Parsons New College in New York, but it was a healthy materials course, and one of the professors says that we are where we live as much as we are what we eat. Hang on, let's get this right. Yeah, we are where we live as much as we are what we eat. So that environment's impact on the people is huge. Mm. So to actually ask questions and screen our suppliers better and make better choices for everybody yeah. involved in a project, it's just so, so important. So we have actually developed a template that designers can use when they're querying suppliers. So I feel that's another kind of productive thing.
That yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing, because most people don't realize, do they, that it's not the small amount of the toxic ingredients that get past the legislation. It's the daily use. It's the combination of one toxic ingredient with another that creates this super toxic ingredient, like superbugs do when they come together. So it's that people are beginning to understand a lot more. But of course, you know, we've had a facade, if you like, put on us by these big, awful brands that just want to sell products and don't actually think about the care and health and well-being of people and planet. So we're coming yeah. in that, we're kind of coming through that cycle now, aren't we, of awareness and transparency. So I want to, if it's all right with you, Chloe, and thank you for that. That's really beautiful to hear. I'd like to play your next song. Now, it's one of my favorite songs as well. When you sent it through to me, I was really pleased, because it just brought back such fond memories. So we're going to play the song. It's by Joe Smooth. It's called, is it Promised Land or The Promised Land?
Yeah.
So we'll play that and then we'll come back to it. And I hope some of our listeners are reminded about how this made them feel back in the day when they were out partying or listening to this song. Ah, I so love that song. The bass line just gets me every time. And such a meaningful song. That's from, is it from like early 90s or something?
Yeah, I remember it from dance floors in the 90s for sure. Yeah, it's such an uplifting song. I love it. It really gives, it gives me a boost. It just reminds me of dance floors and it's just time, you know, being on the dance floor when it was, everybody, it was a leveler. Everybody was just happy, and it was a really great song to kind of sing along to. And I made my closest friends during that time, sort of mid-90s. They've made really important connections in that sort of short window, and it really represents all of that for me.
Yeah, we're the same age, you and I, so it's that kind of raving era, wasn't it? And it was a magical moment in history, which I don't think I think there is some rave scene still happening today. But anyway, we were very privileged to be a part of that.
I feel so much like that. And I hope that future generations have their version, because, it was such a lovely time for just connecting to lovely people.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And that song was one of those you just kind of, you put your arms up to the gods and you just feel elated and you just have a big smile on your face. So thank you for reminding me of that time, and hopefully lots of our listeners. So Chloe, I want to just talk about you for a bit, because we've talked about, so actually before we do that, the book, and you talked about the 11, do you want to just talk about any more of the book before I ask you just a couple of personal questions? So is there anything that, because I'd love people to be informed by it, and is there anything you'd like to share about the 11 ways?
Yes. So it's kind of, I'm part of this circular economy group in Brighton, which I've loved, and I've found that very educational as well. I love to get involved in different aspects of sustainability. And so I've been lucky to learn a lot about the circular economy, about the sharing economy, reuse. So I've got those as three chapters, because there's such lovely examples out there to show everyone. So and reuse obviously is like the thing you do, but the if you're trying to avoid consuming, to work within the sharing economy and look at rental of things and open source designs for things, there's a lot there. So I really enjoyed working on that chapter. And there's regenerative design, which is kind of how we really need to be starting to, you know, to work, to improve through our work rather than to take. There's vegan design, which is very close to my heart, and just demonstrating how beautiful that can be. And also how toxic chemical and fossil fuel free as well. We don't, you know, if you don't want animals, you also don't want all those harmful things as well.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a chapter on people, so the impact of people of our industry and how we can reverse that and do things positively. So again, that really went back to the body shop education as well. And then place, kind of working with materials that are close to a project, and the kind of consciousness of that, and kind of the clever ways that those are being done, because there's some very clever things going on out there, like 3D printed homes using materials from the grounds, and biophilic design, which I'm really enjoyed. So it's kind of, there's a project of Oliver's in there, which is right in the center of London, you know, how to create biophilia in such a hectic place, right through to the beautiful work that Alora Hardy is doing in Bali. So it's kind of really, really lovely. And then I've got healthy building, which is kind of looking at all the rest of the sort of ways that we can look after people in their homes, other than just that immediate connection to nature. So it's kind of splitting it two ways so that I can talk about it even more, because it's so important. And then the climate and biodiversity emergency. So kind of living within the one planet boundaries and how people are approaching that. And that's been quite an eye-opener, because learning what's going on in Wales with the one planet development, which is so exciting, and their Future Generations Acts, and it's really quite innovative what's happening in Wales. So had a lovely opportunity to write about that. And then last of all, ethical business, kind of how that would draw people into having a sustainable space.
Nice. That sounds amazing. I can't wait to get a copy. I'm sure our listeners are. So we are coming to the end of the show. The time just goes so quickly. I'm so sorry, but we are coming to the end. If there was one piece of advice or one thing that you do in your life or something that you'd like to share just in a very brief moment about living more sustainably, what would that be from you?
To question things. To kind of connection, not to work in isolation, not to to appreciate the connection of everything, you know, the connection of where something's from.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. That's fantastic. Yeah, just consider and be conscious about the connections, joining the dots. Yeah. Thank you, Chloe. It's been an absolute treat to have you on the show. Thank you very much. When the book comes out, can we get you back?
Oh, yes, of course you can. Thank you. Yeah. It'll be out in April.
That'd be amazing. So thank you, Chloe. And anybody that wants to connect with Chloe, materializeinteriors.com is the website. Instagram is Materialize INT. Is that right?
Materialize
INT your Instagram. And do reach out to either us or Chloe. And especially if you're looking to get your house sustainably designed, then she is your person or business, of course. Now, as usual, we're going to close the show with playing the outro of our track Save the World by yours truly, because every play that we get for this song, 100% of my money that would come to me is donated to Greta Thunberg's Fridays for Futures Mapper movement, which is the most affected people in areas. I'm going to love you and leave you. Thanks for joining us today. We're going to play out with Save the World by Jarvis Smith. Please add it to your playlist, get it onto your, you know, your Spotify list, etc., etc. Play it as much as you can, and there's a minute to go of this song. Thank you for having us. We'll see you next week, Monday, 1 to 2 p.m. Cheers, Chloe.
Thank you.
Into the streets, we're coming down. We never sleep.